the message that I would like to share today is called Don't Cry Because Jesus Is Here. Don't cry because Jesus is here. Hallelujah. The word of God opens, and I'm just going to read a little bit of scripture here in the Bible, in the book of Luke chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible, just listen to me. It says in here that it happens that Jesus went to a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, do not weep. Hallelujah. I love the Bible because it talks about stories that represent you and me. And even though these stories may have taken place 2,000 years ago, they're still real and they're still relevant to all of us. And this story is about a woman who lived in a town called Nain. And I looked into the scriptures to find out what the word meant, Nain, and it meant beautiful, pleasant beauty. And I was just listening to Naresh when he was sharing about the desire of coming to start a new life in another country. And I know many of you have dreams, aspirations, and you would like to maybe live in a beautiful place, a beautiful home, surrounded by beautiful people. And that's a nice longing, and there's nothing wrong with that. But unfortunately, we live in a world that is the other side. We see cruelty, we see hatred, we cannot trust people. We sometimes are watching around our back because we don't know what can happen. Danger is all around us. But I'll tell you, that desire that you have, the longing that you have to be in a nice place, to be at peace, it is a good desire. And that was the plan that God designed for all of us. The Bible says that God created a beautiful garden called Eden, which meant also pleasant, beautiful. And God placed the first man and the first woman on earth, Adam and Eve. And God gave him everything that his heart was longing for them. And they had it so good. They were enjoying life. But unfortunately, men also have a free will, meaning that we can do our own choices because God wasn't forcing anybody. And the enemy, the devil, came and deceived Adam and Eve. And he came and told them things that would make them believe that God had some other plans, that God wasn't being faithful and honest with them. And the Bible says that men, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God. They decided not to follow the ordinance that God had established. And the Bible says because of that disobedience, sin entered into the world. And you may not know what this word sin means. Well, every action that you and I take that it is against God, against his holiness, is sin. And maybe you will say, but give me an example. Well, if you lie, if you kill somebody, whether it is an adult or a baby, if you go ahead and betray somebody, and maybe those are very obvious sins. But the Bible also says that if you look at a man or a woman and you lust in your mind, you also have sin. So there's all kinds of sin, immoral behaviors. And the Bible says that sin entered into the world. And because of sin, the recompense, the paycheck that we get of sin is death. And now if you look around, you see tragedies all around the world, children being born with diseases, people killing one another. We just have to look at the news and see how dirty and how ugly sin is and how sin destroys you and destroys me. But today you have come to the right place because I have good news. I come to tell you that there's one who his name is Jesus Christ who came and has paid the price so you and I will be rescued. The Bible says in the scriptures that in this town there lived a family. There was a wife with her husband and child. But one day tragedy in this beautiful town took place. She lost her husband. And in that ancient culture, when you had a husband, it meant that he was the provider of the home. He was the financial support in that house. And when he died, things became very difficult. It was a very, very difficult time for this woman. Now she was a widow. Now she needed to depend on others. But thankfully, she had a son. And I believe that this son was there. And I was just talking, and I asked Naresh about for his name, because I saw how he talked about his mom and the love that they had and how they hang out together. So I imagine this woman, just like their relationship, they love one another. She had hopes on this son. He was going to carry her generation through the son that she had. But I don't know what happened. Maybe there was an accident. Maybe this boy developed a sickness. And the Bible says that he died, and now he was being carried away. He was being taken away. Death hit that home. And you have to imagine the pain of this woman. This woman who raised this child. Now he was maybe a young man. And that was her hope. Maybe he was the one who was helping her in the house. And this tragedy hit this city so much. Maybe they saw this little boy growing up. They have hopes and dreams. But now, everything was shattered. The life was gone. And now we had a dead person. And that's what happens with all of us. The Bible says that the debts, the pays of sin, that the recompense of sin is death. And all of us in here, when we don't have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are like these young men. We are dead. There's no hope. There's nothing good for us to continue. But I love the scripture. And I love the word of God that talks about Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ, he saw our condition. He saw that we were lost in sin. He saw there was no hope. Because from the moment the sin came into the world, we were separated from God. There was no way we could go to God and restore a relationship. But the Bible says that God so loved you and me that he came and sent his only begotten son. Now talk about love. Somebody who gave his own son so he could come and carry your sin, carry all the evil things that you and I have done, everything that has happened to us that has been evil, he carried him. And the Bible says that they grabbed Jesus and they offered him as a sacrifice. They came and put nails in his hands. They beat him up. They put it on a piece of wood. And he died on the cross for you and me. And he died so you and me could have eternal life. Going back to the story, the Bible says that they were carrying this young man in a coffin. And in the old times, the coffins were open coffins. So you could see that it was a young life over there. And there were people carrying this body. But how I love the scripture. Because I tell you, in the moment of your worst tragedy, in the moment of your loneliness, when everything seems that there's no more hope. And truly, I don't know your case. I can speak of myself. I have gone through moments where I have gone through tragedies in my life. But I can tell you that Jesus was there with me. So I was living a different life. But today, tonight, perhaps you have experienced loneliness, depression. Maybe you have lost a loved one. Maybe someone that you love has abandoned you. Maybe you're feeling that you have sunk into a debt, maybe like a drug addiction, maybe a behavior, something that is tormenting you day and night, and you feel that there's no hope, there's no way to come out of that. But tonight I come to tell you that Jesus says, don't cry, because I am here. Jesus says, I am here to rescue you. I am here to heal you. I am here to make you whole and to get you out, because he has paid the price. The Bible says in the scripture that as they were walking, there was a large crowd following this woman because they felt the pain. There has been tragedies that has touched our nation, and all of us have been united and be there as a back part just to strengthen the person. But I'll tell you, when your heart is broken, when you're lonely, inconsolable, even the people that mean the best for you, they cannot really heal you. They cannot really restore you. They cannot really touch your heart. But there's one who can touch your heart, who can restore you, who can bring peace into your life. And his name is Jesus Christ. And I love this story because I see that they're going walking with the dead body. Some people are carrying the dead body, and the woman is crying, most likely, heartbroken and walking. And that was the saddest walk of her life, because there they go. Their hopes, her dreams are just gone. They're getting ready to bury this man. But oh, I tell you tonight that in the moment of your tragedy, in the worst moment of your life, Jesus comes and steps. And when Jesus comes, he changes the situation, because Jesus is God. And there's absolutely nothing impossible for Jesus to do. He is God. He's the one who created the heaven and the earth. He is God. There's nothing impossible for him. And tonight, the God that I'm talking about, his name is Jesus Christ. He is here right now. And he's telling you, do not cry. Do not cry, for I am here. The Bible says that they were walking closer, and Jesus had made a trip to go to the city of Nain. And he went closer to the gate, and he saw the woman. And I tell you, Jesus is seeing you tonight. Perhaps you look really cool, all nice, dressed up. And maybe I can see you with a smile, but Jesus sees deep in your heart. He sees everything. He knows everything about you. He knows the secrets that nobody knows. He knows everything. Because since the moment that you were created, he has had his eyes on you. The Bible says that he knows you before you came out of your mother's womb. He knows you and he loves you. That's the God that I'm talking about. So God knew this woman. God knew this child that had passed away. And he knew all the situation. Nobody needed to come and tell him, because he knew everything. And the Bible says that they were walking closer to a gate. And in the ancient times, transactions were made. Legal transactions were made closer to a gate. And I'll tell you tonight, Jesus has already made a transaction for you, because he came and he paid the price for you and for me. Because the Bible says that we have sinned and we have fallen short of the glory of God. There was no way we can pay for all the evil things that we have done. But there's one who came and paid in full when he gave his life on Calvary. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he is here. And he's telling you, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me, says Jesus. If you come, I will restore you. If you come to me, says the Lord, I will make you whole. Hallelujah. The woman was there with her son, dead son, and people were carrying it. And as Jesus saw that woman, the Bible says that he was filled with compassion. And in the Bible, only Jesus can have that compassion. It moved him from the inside. It moved him. It penetrated his being. Because that's how my Jesus is. He yearns for you. He loves you. He desperately loves you. That he was willing to give his life. That's real love. Maybe tell you, people tell you that they love you. But I'll tell you, Jesus gave his life. He's already proven to you that he really loves you. Hallelujah. And when he saw that woman, desperate, lonely, he came and he spoke to her two words. He said, Don't cry. When this woman heard those words, they were coming from the very one who says, let there be light, and light came into the earth. The very one who created heaven and earth and spoke to her and said, don't cry. And maybe other people could have said, what are you talking about? Don't cry. Don't you see this woman have lost her son? What are you talking about? But I'll tell you, Jesus doesn't make mistakes. If he's telling you tonight, don't cry, it's because he has the answer. He has the answer for you tonight. He's going to set you free, whether it is a sickness, whether it is depression, whether there is a behavior that has you bound. Jesus said to you, don't cry. Jesus has the answer. There's absolutely nothing impossible for my Jesus to do. The Bible says that as soon as he said to her, don't cry, he came and did something that was unexpected of anyone who was professing to know God. And in the old times, you could not touch. You were not supposed to touch something that was dead, because it would make you unclean. But you see, it doesn't matter the mess where you are. It doesn't matter how dirty you may feel tonight. Jesus is willing to come and reach you and make himself dirty because he loves you and he loves me. The Bible says that he came and he touched that coffin. And all of a sudden, those people who were carrying the dead body stopped. Because I tell you, Jesus, when he touches, he not only touches the first surface, he touches everything that is all around. Those guys who were carrying the dead body had to stop. They had to stop because the touch penetrated the wood, went all the way and touched to all those men, and they got paralyzed. And I tell you, tonight, Jesus is coming, and he's coming to your situation, and he's touching the situation, and he's saying, no more death, no more death. Everything needs to stop in here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus. The Bible said that as that Jesus touched the coffin, all of a sudden, something started moving in that box. Can you imagine? The dead man started moving because the power of Jesus resurrected that body. And the Bible says that immediately, the man sat down. He sat up and he spoke. I don't know what he said. But I tell you, most likely he praised the name of the Lord. He glorified. And tonight, you may be dead, but I'm come to tell you, you are going to rise up from that dead. You're going to be alive in Christ Jesus. And when you open your mouth, you will glorify the name of Jesus, because it was he who delivered you and set you free. I'm speaking about my life. Jesus Christ delivered me many years ago. People in the choir got delivered a long time ago, because there's a Christ that is able, who can set you free. The Bible says that everybody got in awe and they were worshiping and praising the name of the Lord, because Jesus was doing a miracle, and that was one of the first miracles of him resurrecting a dead body. And tonight, Jesus has a message for you. He simply tells you, do not cry, because I am here. Do not cry, because I have paid the price for you. Way back on Calvary, when he surrendered his life, when he decided to give his life, because the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not die, but will have everlasting life. And Jesus knows that there's a lot of dead people in here. Maybe you have an appearance of life. Maybe you look nice, but you know inside that you're dead. And you know that you're struggling in your life. And that you know that any moment, it could be your last day. But I come to tell you, and to tell you that Jesus said, there's a stop in here. You have a choice tonight. Or you choose life, or you choose death. Jesus is already making the way for you to come here. He says, if you will come and you will believe in me, I will make you my son and daughter. And sometimes we don't even understand, but the Bible says that if we confess with our mouth, if we say, Jesus, you are Lord, and you believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Jesus has already paid the price for you. Yes, all of us were sinners. All of us have done horrendous things. But Jesus comes and says, I offer you forgiveness. I'm making the transaction. I'm paying for your debts. I'm paying for all the bad things that you have done. But about everything else, I'm going to give you restoration. I want to make you whole. I want to get you from that state of, like this young man, being dead. Because the Bible says that we are dead in our sin and trespasses. But Jesus has come to give you eternal life. So tonight I want to make a call. I want to invite you to come here into the front. I want you to know that Jesus had prepared this evening for you. Tonight, it could be your last night. Because the truth is that we can never know what's going to happen tomorrow. But even if I were to die tonight, I know that my name is written in heaven, because Jesus has already paid the price for me. And when I was 3 years old, I invited Jesus to come into my heart. I didn't know much about the Bible. I didn't understand. But I had a need. I had a deeper need of a relationship. And Jesus came and satisfied me. And tonight, I don't know your situation. I don't know your condition. But I know that there's one who there's absolutely nothing impossible for him to do. And he's calling you. And he says, come to me just as you are. A lot of people say, well, let me go ahead and fix my life. Hey, God is holy and I want to fix, make sure everything is right before I come to God. But you know what? You can try all you want, but you will never fix yourself. Because you know what? You don't have the ability. You have been trying for a while and you already know that you're a mess. How many of you can say, yes, we are. Without Jesus, we're a mess. But Jesus says, I am the one who can change you, who can fix you, who can transform you and make you new. The Bible says that all things have passed. Behold, all things are new. And that is when we give our heart to Jesus. I know you might not understand, but you know that there's one calling you in your heart. And Jesus says, come to me. All that you are weary, all that are tired, and I will give you rest. And I want to invite you to come into the front as the musicians pass to the, here and they start playing their instruments. I want you to come. If you're not sure, if you say, well, I guess I'm not really a bad person, you know. I mean, I'm not like that girl or that boy. I pretty much live a clean life. But I tell you, absolutely everyone in here is a sinner. The only difference between you and us is that we, sinners, gave our heart to Jesus. And tonight, I'm making that invitation. Come to Jesus. He is the one who wants to restore you. He wants to make you whole. And he is the only one who has the answer. He is the only one who has the answer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is here. And like we were singing, he knows your name. He sees every tear you have cried. He knows your pain. He knows your loneliness. He knows everything about you. And I'm come to tell you that Jesus has a different plan for you. The Word of God says that the plans of God are to give you a hope, a future. And that's what he wants to do for you. And yet there's an enemy who doesn't want you to receive that. There's a voice that will tell you, no, you don't need that. You can fix it. But I tell you today, only Jesus can set us free. So come to him. If you're still doubting, if you're still sitting over there in the balcony, I'll tell you, come to Jesus. He is here right now. He's waiting for you. And tonight, there's going to be a night of miracles. Because I'll tell you, when Jesus touches us, he transforms us. He changes us. He makes miracles. If there's anything dead, if there's any sicknesses, there's nothing impossible for Jesus. Come to him. He is here right now. And I always like to ask my pastor if he can give me permission to pray also for the people. Because as I said before, I met Jesus at a young age, but I had a sickness. I had rheumatoid juvenile arthritis. And as a little girl, I was born with that. And it was very painful, day and night, especially when it was cold. But I heard about Jesus when I was only 3 years old in Sunday school. And the story, just like you heard today, Jesus resurrecting a dead person. Jesus healing the blind. Jesus giving sight to the blind. Jesus restoring all the ones who had sickness. And I said, Jesus, will you touch me? And I started praying as a child because the pain was real. And I wanted to be delivered from that. And every time they came to the church and they were saying, we're going to pray for the sick, I will run to the altar. But nothing will happen. But nothing will happen. Not because he wasn't able. God was teaching me to be patient and to believe in him. And one day, Jesus said, today, I'm going to touch you. And I tell you, I had done very bad stuff. I didn't deserve to be touched by Jesus. But he came and he touched me. Not only he healed me from my arthritis, but he also restored my legs. He made a miracle. I used to have a leg longer than the other. And he made them the same size. And I'm here standing. I can jump. Because he's able. And I will always share and tell people that Jesus is my healer. And tonight, there's going to be two kinds of healings. The healings of the heart and restoration of the dead people, dead in our sins, to come to life in Jesus. But I believe also there's going to be physical miracles tonight. Would you believe in him? Amen. So I'm going to invite you, for those who are going to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior, I'm going to make a prayer, and I want you to repeat after me. When people get married, you know, they say, will you take so-and-so as your wedded wife, right? And imagine if I'm getting married with this guy, and he, when that's, would you take her? And he will be like, I'll be like, talk, you know? The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth. So that's what we do, this prayer. No, like, you know? So that's why we're doing this little prayer. So you're going to repeat with me, and he's going to enter into your heart, and I'm really excited for that. Repeat with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. Thank you because you have seen me in my lowest point, and you love me the same with my faults and mistakes. You still love me. Tonight, I invite you to come into my heart. I ask you for forgiveness for all the bad things that I have done. And I ask you, Jesus, that you will cleanse me and that you will purify me from my heart and that you will change me. Come, send your Holy Spirit to fill my life. And from now on, I will walk with you and I will follow you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for paying for the bad things that I have done. Thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I receive you tonight. And now I'm no longer dead, but I'm alive in you. Thank you, Jesus, for writing my name in the book of life. And very soon, we'll see you face to face. Thank you. Amen. So don't move there. Stay there. And now we're going to pray for the people who need a healing. I don't know your sickness. I don't know the names of all the sickness. I'm not really good at that. But I know one who knows everything. So he sees you. I don't have to touch you. I don't have to say your name because he is here. He walks in the midst of us right now. And just as he came, he touched that coffin. He can come and touch you. You may not see it, but you will know. I remember when Jesus touched me, I started shaking and I started crying. But yours could be different. Maybe you might feel butterflies. I don't know. Everybody's different, right? But the touch is only the touch of Jesus. The Bible says that we believe. If you have the faith like a little seed, you can tell the mountains to move and they will move. And so believing, that means having that faith, makes a difference. So I'm going to pray and I want you to activate your faith. You might just say, God, I want to believe. I believe. I was three and I believe. So it's not that somebody gave me a training on how to believe. No, I just believe what the Word of God says. Simple as that. Many of us have faith on the person that drives the subway. You don't even know the driver, and you get in there thinking and believing that he's going to take you safely. Right? How come you have faith on that person that you don't know? How much more are Jesus Christ who gave his life for you? So let's believe him tonight. Amen. Father God, you see the people here right now, God. Lift up your hand if you have a sickness. You know. Lift it up. He sees it. Father, you know these hands that are lifted up right now, God. Jesus, we're talking about your touch. Oh, Holy Spirit, I ask you that as I speak right now, that your hand will start touching those sicknesses, God. Father, that you will restore those organs, God. If there's any cancer here, Lord Jesus. Whether it is in the breast or any other part of their body, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, cancel out those cells. And I ask you that you put new cells, God, and you will restore it, Father. Father, if there's any other sickness, kidneys, God, any arthritis, any pains, deformation of the bones, any tumors in the brain or in their bodies, God. Father, any problems with their lungs, God, right now, God, we ask you that you would touch us, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, touch, God. Walk among your people, God. Oh, God, you said, don't cry, for I am here. We don't have to cry because you are with us, Lord Jesus. We have hope in you, God. Move, Holy Spirit. Move like a cloud in the midst of this sanctuary, God. And touch, God. Touch every body. Touch every person that has lifted their hands right now, God. I ask you right now, God, that you start flowing right now, God, up in the balcony, here in the main sanctuary, Lord Jesus. Flow with your healing power, for there is healing in the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. No sickness can come and say that you are not enough to heal them, Father God. Oh, Father, we ask you that you will cast out any sickness, any infirmity, any spirit of infirmity in their bodies, in their minds, any depression, anything that is bothering them, Lord Jesus, in their bodies, God. Flow, Holy Spirit. Flow, Father God. Any fear of sickness, any fear of death, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we give it to you. And now talk to Jesus and tell him, thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Speak. Speak. Jesus spoke. Speak to him. He is here right now. He can listen to all of you. Everybody has different petitions. Still, he can listen because he's a God who cares for you and for me. And God, I thank you that you hear the request of your children, God. And I thank you because you delight on healing and restoring lives. First the heart and then the body. I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.